I am your host, Sam Randazzo. It is season three. We are back after an extended hiatus. To my right, it is the one and only Uncle Sam.
Did you guys ever see the movie The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis and who else is in it?
I was going to say you look like
Gary
Bruce
Oldman,
Willis
Chris,
right now.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker?
No, there's, if you, you should watch this movie. It's a good sci-fi movie. And there's Chris Tucker plays this, like, it takes place in the future, and Chris Tucker plays this really eccentric radio host, and they're on a cruise that sails, and it takes them to paradise, and they rig this contest for Bruce Willis's character to win. And every time Chris Tucker goes to interview Bruce Willis's name in the movie is Corbin Dallas, he's like giving all these eccentric questions, and he'll put the microphone in Bruce Willis's face and he'll give a one word answer. He'll go, they'll be like, Bruce, or they'll be like, Corbin, how you doing today? And he'll be like, good. That's you. You're Corbin Dallas in The Fifth Element.
You're Bruce Willis.
That movie was awful, by the way.
Oh, I fucking love that movie. Awful. I love that movie.
To my left, it's our very own Mr. Zolo, Mike Pelzolo.
Blessed.
And still behind the computer.
Not fired yet.
On the ones and twos, mostly due to divine intervention, it is none other than Bruce the Tugboat.
Venditti.
Tuesday, Rebecca.
He's got more fucking lives than a cat.
Literally, he's the cat with like
900 fucking
lives.
He's got 900 lives.
I shouldn't have gave you that pencil bag because you're already fucking tapping and we're 2 minutes into the new season.
That's okay.
Literally, you made it 2 minutes.
I'm excited about the new interview we're going to have.
Yes, we are doing an interview today. Later on in the show, you guys are going to meet friend of the show, Michael Vato Davis, cornerback from the Washington Commanders. We are having a nice little conversation with him this afternoon. But before we get into that, it has been a long time since I have asked this. How is life going? How has the last month and a half been? High points, low points, pits and peaks.
Living the dream.
He just Bruce Willis'd us again. You have a month and a half to recap, and all you can say is you're
living the dream, dude. What do you want me to say? I work every day. What do you want me to say?
How's your pork butt on Easter?
It's fucking amazing.
You make pork butt on Easter?
He made a pork butt on Easter.
What'd you do to it? Did you put barbecue sauce on it afterward? Like, what did you do afterward? Just eat it with the dry rub? Or?
Well, you hit it with the dry rub, and then you put sauce
on it. Sauced it up.
You got to sauce it. Saucy.
Do you have a go-to sauce?
I like Sweet Baby Ray's.
You know what my favorite barbecue sauce is?
I like the brown sugar one.
Yeah, so I actually,
you gotta add stuff to it. You gotta add mustard to it. You gotta add brown sugar, mustard. You add stuff to it.
Sweet Baby Ray's too sweet.
Before I tell you my favorite barbecue sauce, when was the last time you guys had A1 with a steak?
I couldn't tell you. Eons.
I would love to go to a shitty
Outback
Longhorn, or Texas Roadhouse. And put A1.
Roadhouse, nice. Shitty. Hold on.
Outback is dog shit. I watched a lady die in there one time.
Wow. Where?
Maybe Outback. Cholesterol. Outback. Too
Anyways. My go-to barbecue sauce, and I don't even know if it still exists, was KC Masterpiece.
Yeah.
It had the perfect, I love Kansas City barbecue sauce, because it's got that tangy, smoky mesquite with that peppery back end. It's usually my go-to. I struggle with barbecue sauce.
There's a little place around the corner from my house. It's a little market. And they sell a brand of sauce called Smokey John's, J-O-N-S.
Smokey John's.
Okay. That shit is the best. It's absolutely amazing. And normally that's what I use.
You use KC Masterpiece?
No.
Oh,
Smokey John's.
Smokey Dick.
Smokey John's.
Okay. I'm going to bring back a blast from the past here because I, much like you, don't know if this still exists. I haven't seen it in eons. But there's a barbecue sauce that stood way above the rest. I haven't seen it in probably 10 years.
Open Pit?
No, Open Pit. We sell Open Pit. The Jug.
That was garbage.
What? It came in that orange little bottle,
yeah,
with the handle?
Yeah, horrible.
And it looked like a basket? You're editing this, so you need to put a picture of the jug in there. Listen, it was fucking awesome. It was a little orange thing.
I know,
all
I
you
remember,
needed was a
yeah.
little bit. It was delicious. That, to me, was great barbecue sauce.
I'm going to bring you some Smokey John's.
Bring me some
and
Smokey
And I want
Dick.
You guys to use that and then tell me what you
think. Okay. Zolo.
It's like salsa. It's almost like salsa, mac and cheese. But it's barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I'll use that in my mac and cheese next time. Zolo, it's been a very long time. How has life been? High points, low points, pits, peaks. Give us the rundown.
It's a loaded question. I thought I would lose a couple pounds before I got back on the camera. I might be up. No, I'm probably right where you left me.
I gained 20 pounds. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I really got to get going on that. But you know, spring, summer's my time to shine because there's pickle, and we got tip softball coming up.
It's almost pickle season. Tip softball. Roster submitted. Dues are paid. We're ready to go. 2 weeks' time, we'll be back on the field. Continue, sir.
Man, I went and watched the eclipse yesterday. That was great. I'm trying to think. When was the last time we were all, It was
the end of February.
In February. So all February. I literally haven't left. I haven't gone anywhere, which is shocking. I was on a plane 12 times at this point last year.
Yeah.
No, I'm just waiting here. I'm excited to talk about free agency.
Yeah.
We got a jersey coming out next week. They're unveiling the new football jersey.
There's actually two jerseys coming out.
Who's the second one? The Denver Broncos?
The tip softball.
Oh, the tip softballs? I've actually seen a preview of the tip softball.
You have.
So it's not.
The masses haven't seen
it. The anticipation isn't as high.
I will be wearing it next show.
I'm excited to do some mock drafts. I think I'm getting the green light to start doing some blogs soon, correct?
So, yes, actually, in season three, we will be having blogs, actually, at www.tippedballs.com. All of us are going to contribute to it. Uncle Sam is thrilled about it.
I'm the only one who has contributed.
I'm not blog. I don't blog.
Excuse me?
I don't know what that is.
Did you put one on there?
Yeah, bitch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Anyway,
there we go.
Look at it this
fucking
way.
Fucking peanut gallery always fucking spurting shit out.
You don't say you don't know what it is, but put it this way. It's a way to talk about anyone and anything you want uninterrupted without us assholes chiming in.
Yeah.
So you could say whatever you want about Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy, and there's nothing that we can
do
about it.
There you go.
And you could do it in as many or as few words as you want, too. Look at that. I already interrupted him once.
My blogs will be just like my answers.
One word?
Short.
One word.
Yeah, so coming up soon, as we transition to getting back on the air, we have free agency recap coming up next. Immediately following that, we have mock drafts coming out. We have so much shit saved up and ready to go to kick off season three with a bang. It's actually mind-blowing. I mean, we have so much shit coming up.
And there's a hidden one that not many people know about.
Nobody knows about.
He's talking about his little pecker.
Bruce, how have you been over the last month and a half? Okay, before we do that, we'll give an employment update on Bruce. Obviously, he's still here, but Uncle Sam also hasn't fired him yet. So Bruce has been able to hold down both positions over the last month and a half. Yeah, Rigo's Bruce's Jesus, isn't he?
If it wasn't for Rigo, he would be gone already.
Got it. Okay, so how have you been?
Quite honest.
How many Tigers games have you gone to already this year?
One.
Just one.
That's why he's all fucking pink.
I've watched.
Can we get a picture of him, how pink he is?
So,
look at it.
There will be a Bruce cam coming up. We have to.
We don't have a Bruce cam over there right now?
No, I don't think he has it hooked up.
Fucking ass.
At home, because it's for my Discord.
Anyways.
That's what he puts the pictures of his wiener on his social media, right?
Probably.
Correct.
I think that was a good way to get back in. We talked about meat. Uncle Sam said he's terrific. Zola watched the eclipse. You're pink. I think we should get into our interview because it's a big moment for us. This is a big moment.
It's our first interview.
First interview. First of many, I must say.
First interview.
So, without further ado,
I would like to welcome 7-year veteran cornerback of the Washington Commanders, Michael Vato Davis.
Miguel.
I love it.
Yeah.
So a few things. So you're right now, I know you're kind of making the transition after free agency over to the Commanders. You said before we get hopped on air here that you were currently in Virginia. This was your first time exploring free agency, you know, 7 years with the Chargers. What was that whole experience like, taking the jump, leaving your old team and finding somewhere new to go?
Honestly, it's quite the experience. I was obviously kind of sad. Obviously, I mean, having been with the Chargers for 7 years, I was kind of sad to leave. But just being in free agency, it kind of was like opened my mind to like, damn, like this is what it feels like. Like it's not really a good feeling. Like me personally, I didn't like being a free agent.
See, I could see that because, I mean, the Chargers for you, it's kind of like it's your hometown team pretty much, right?
It is. So, yeah, it's scary. It's scary being a free agent, to be honest.
Why? I mean, was there any worry that you were going to end up in a situation that you didn't like as much, or was it more of leaving your home or just the uncomfort of leaving a team you've been with for so long?
It's part of just the comfort of leaving the team I've been with so long. You know, I mean, it's just the unknown, you know. Being in the 7 years with the same team, like, I never really had to experience the unknown. And first time in free agency, everything was really unknown to me, like, it was foreign ground. I didn't know where I was going to end up, to be honest.
Were there any places that you targeted specifically? I mean, were there any places that you were like, oh, yeah, I'd love to go and play here? Or was Washington one of the places on your mind?
Washington was for sure on my mind, just because of Dan Quinn. But, I mean, I'd never been out east, to be honest. Yeah, we played games out east, but that's pretty much it. But it was teams like, I mean, teams that I targeted basically was like Dallas, Pittsburgh. The Colts, just because I had my old coach, Gus Bradley, they were there. And then obviously, I mean, Washington through my agency. But yeah, we just, I guess it worked out.
Right. I wanted to touch on Dan Quinn real quick. You know, Dan Quinn, one of the great defensive minds in the NFL, I mean, in my opinion at least. And same thing goes for Joe Witt. They were truly a deciding factor in you going to Washington. You know, I mean, the influence that they have amongst, like, the defensive top brass in the NFL, they have very, very good standing. Were those two guys a big part of the reason why you wanted to make the jump to Washington?
Yes, for sure, Joe Witt, for sure. I've been talking to my agent. I mean, Joe Witt, Dan Quinn, like, they really develop corners. And you see that in their defense. Dan Quinn's been everywhere, you know what I mean? He's doing the Falcons, obviously, doing the defensive coordinator in the Cowboys. You know, like, every defense that he's been a part of, the defense, they shine at interceptions. Like, that's all they do. They're a bunch of ball hawks. I mean, like, they're always, like, I mean, top five, top 10 defense. And I honestly, coming off of my last year with Chargers, like, I thought it was really a shitty year for me. And I knew that I needed to go to a place where I can develop my skills, where I can take my level to the next game. And having known a little bit of background with Dan Quinn and also Joe Witt, I was like, yeah, I mean, I got to be with these boys. I mean, I got to be with these men. I got to be their product.
No, I hear you there. And, you know, that's it's awesome to recognize something in yourself that you need to improve on. I feel like a lot of people, when they get to your level and being in the NFL, you know, there's a certain amount of plateauing that goes on. But, you know, the drive that you have to try and continue to improve your game, that's awesome. And I'm sure a team would love to have a guy like you just because of that. Yep. I don't know if you know, we're from Michigan. So obviously,
well, I see it on your Instagram, you guys are from Detroit.
Basically. Yes, we talked. Yeah. So,
no lines.
That's it. There we go. All right. That's going to came here. We need a corner. We need a joke.
Did you, before you left the Chargers, did you have a chance to meet with any of the top brass there? Obviously, Jim Harbaugh coming off of the year he had at Michigan. Did you have a chance to meet with them at all? Was there any discussion to be had there or no?
I met John Harbaugh. I met Harbaugh. I mean, I met him once. It was like a brief, like, 10-minute introduction.
Right.
I introduced myself. He introduced himself. He kind of knew a little bit about who I was. I knew a little bit about who he is, what he did at Michigan. But it was nothing more than that. It was just an introduction.
Gotcha. I hear you there. Now that you're in Washington, have you spent any time with the top guys there? You know, there's been a lot of carousel going on in Washington over the last few years. It seems like now they have a solid ground there between ownership, coaching, everything. Have you had any time to meet with those guys?
For sure, Dan Quinn. I've had more time to meet with Dan Quinn. Definitely a lot with Witt and Jay Simmons, who's our DB coach now. I'm just trying to see what I can learn from them, you know? Just like you said, like, people like 7 years, 8 years in the league, like, they start to plateau. And, I mean, I'm not trying to plateau for the rest of my career. I mean, I'm trying to take the necessary steps for me to improve. And I'm trying to pick the brains a little bit, especially at Tommy Donatello's here as well. He's my old seat because of the Chargers. So, I mean, he's helping me out a lot with the coverages. As far as the players, like, getting to know them. I mean, I guess after this call, like we have like a group like meet up for tacos after this. So
oh, where, you got Austin there with you, right?
Where at?
Yeah, yeah, and Austin too. Yeah, yeah.
Where's the
yeah.
group meet up at for tacos? Is that in D.C.? Are where's the headquarters at? Is it Fairfax or where's the where are the command headquarters?
We're in Austin.
As, okay, so are you staying near there? Or are you in the D.C. area right now, or D.C. I should say?
No, I'm in Asheville right now.
Okay,
yeah, gonna be close.
Now, how's it feel? You got to move your family with you, or are you gonna start out solo for a while?
No, 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 no. I got my wife out here with me. Okay, Kate, and then I have a little baby girl, Rocky. She's coming here, I think, Sunday.
Congratulations!
Congrats.
You just had her, correct?
Yeah, I did. Three months ago, yeah.
And is that your first or your second?
That's my second. So my first is a boy, Atticus. He'll be 7 in June.
Oh, that's great. You know, I actually wanted to touch on that because I saw, you know, your beautiful children on your Instagram. What's it like being a dad in the NFL? I mean, you really have to be able to manage, you know, changing diapers and practice and everything else. What's the dad like life like in the NFL? Because you guys are busy all the time, and I mean, away games, practice, all that. What's it like for you?
For me, first, it's fun. It's also a second job. I mean, I go to football as my first job, and I come home, I do my second job. But it's fun. You mean, it's fun watching my baby girl grow, especially being a girl dad. Like, it's there's no other feeling than being a girl dad. I don't know if you boys have any kids, any girls, but it's just like
four daughters.
Yeah, you're $4.
Man, he's $4.
Oh yeah,
no, yeah. And my wife is from San Luis Potosí.
Oh, nice, nice. But yeah, you know all about being a girl dad.
Oh, so,
but it's wonderful though. You mean like I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for my lady being able to help me out with things that I need help with, especially when it comes to like changing diapers, aiming, and how to act around a baby girl, because it's different. When you act around your son versus a baby girl, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you teach them kids Spanish.
Oh, definitely will. My grandma, here, man.
My mom, you got that thick Latino accent. I can hear it.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Mike, staying close to the same topic. What was your childhood like? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, with your heritage and everything else, I'm sure that had an influence on you and, you know, who you grew into today. But were there any other sports, any other interests, any other hobbies you had? And, you know, how did your heritage influence you to get to the top level in your profession?
I think growing up, single mom, family's from Mexico, as I'm assuming you guys know. I grew up actually just playing soccer and running track. I wanted to be a goalie, actually. Like, I didn't really think about becoming a football player or playing in the NFL until I got to, I think, high school. So I've always wanted to play soccer. I've always wanted to play for the national Mexican team.
I was just going to say, when you wanted to be a goalie, did you want to be Memo Ochoa or did you want to be Tim Howard? Clearly, you were a Mexican soccer team.
Memo Ochoa. I mean, Tim Howard, he's a dog too, but Ochoa, I wouldn't be like Ochoa. Ochoa in his prime, yeah. Anyway.
Good. He was very good.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be like Ochoa, I mean, but But yeah, and then my mom ran track, so I did a bunch of running track and just playing soccer. And it wasn't really until like high school that I really was like, you know, let's see if this football thing works out. And yeah, it took off. And then as far as my heritage, like helping me get to this position, I would say that just being Mexican is, I mean, usually every single Mexican is a proud Mexican. They're proud and they have great work ethic. And I think that was instilled into me as a young kid. And just be proud of who you are and have work ethic, because, I mean, work ethic is effort. I mean, when you have maximum effort, nobody can beat you.
I have two questions for you real quick, Mike. Sorry, Uncle Sam. You go next.
Yes, sure.
My first question is, you're from Southern California and you played for the Chargers. Did you grow up a Chargers fan, or was there another team that you were a fan of first?
I wouldn't say I had a fan. I mean, I wouldn't say I had a team I rooted for, but I wasn't a fan of the Chargers. Going out, I didn't even know who the Chargers were, to be honest. I was really just a player fan, I guess. Like, growing up, I used to watch DeSean Jackson. Like, he was the guy I wanted to be like especially in high school, because I was fast and I was skinny. He's fast and he's skinny. So I think I wanted to be just like DeSean Jackson growing up. But then now I play defense, and now I'm not DeSean Jackson.
Oh, you're better off playing defense. I see your game. You're very well-rounded. Yeah, Barry, you've been so solid the last 5 years. You said you had an off year last year. I really didn't see that. I think the whole defense had an off year last year. You can't count yourself on that.
I know, but you still got
to. I just thought there was guys that there was too much internal stuff going on with you guys because you definitely underachieved.
Thank you.
Real quick, Mike, what was your transition like from Glendale High School to BYU?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I have a lot of BYU questions lined up over here. A lot.
Yeah. The transition at first, obviously, was shocking because I grew up Catholic. And then having to go into a Mormon LDS faith school, that for sure was an eye-opener for me. I mean, it wasn't as bad for me because Tom Homo, who was the AD there, his brother Steve Homo coached my high school. So Steve Homo kind of made it a smooth transition for me going to BYU. So kind of Tom Homo kind of like helped me throughout the whole school experience. But I mean, like even then, like coming out of high school, like I wasn't really like out there like that. So I was kind of more reserved. So even then, like when I went to BYU, I go to school, I mean, I go to class, go to practice, come back home. So it's pretty much just like a smooth sailing.
Any run-ins with the honor code that you're willing to talk about?
Actually, no. I didn't really have any run-ins. I mean, I got arrested once, but that wasn't like school related.
That sounds like more of like a Provo thing, right?
Yeah, it was like a parking lot thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah.
What about any crazy stories that you heard that you're willing to share? And it's okay if you're not. Any crazy Mormon stories that we've all come to know and love over the last couple of years that you're willing to open up about? Any encounters with Mormon women?
I mean, I've definitely had encounters with Mormon women. Yes. Yeah, I have. But I mean, like you guys have all heard about like the soaking and stuff like that. Like, I don't know,
jumping on the bed and stuff.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never had like personal experience with the soaking thing, but there's also stories going that went around the locker room of like guys and girls doing soaking. I'm assuming, do you guys know what soaking is?
We might have to explain it to our friend over here.
I'm a little older than you guys, so I don't know what that stuff is.
For the record, soaking,
okay,
is a way to get around actual intercourse,
okay,
for Mormons at BYU,
okay,
where you kind of just,
I get it,
put it in and let it soak,
okay,
yeah,
without
any soak
movement.
But there's variations on it now.
I think we're going to a different level that we should.
There's variations on it now to where people are jumping on the bed while the soaking.
You're not the one actually.
I don't need to hear anymore.
Okay,
yeah,
just leave that smell out of there. That's all I'm gonna say.
What about on the field in college? Was there a point, obviously you knew you made it to school, you're playing college football, you're getting an education, and that's all great. Was there a point that you knew, well, maybe I think I could do this in the pros? Like, was there a point where it set in for you that you're really good at this football thing?
Honestly, no. Went to BYU as a receiver my freshman year. And then on the defensive side, a lot of DBs kept getting hurt during fall camp. So my coach at the time, Bronco Mendenhall, he told me that I could be a better corner than receiver. So he switched me to DB my freshman year. Then at the start of my sophomore year, he switched me back to receiver. And then once again, during fall camp, a lot of DBs kept getting hurt. So he switched me back to DB my sophomore year. And then finally my junior year came around, and I was like, you know what, like, I can't be doing this back and forth, like switching. So I decided to stay at DB. My entire junior year. So my junior year was my first year as a quarterback. But I mean, it was fun, but I was just out there I was out there raw. I mean, I had no technique. I mean, yeah, I had speed, I had length, but I mean, I wasn't really physical. Like, I wasn't physical. I had no technique. So I was just out there just roaming to try to survive out there. And then senior year came around. And then I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was benched the second half of my senior year season.
Yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, I mean, that was just doing too much. I had that's when my son was born. I got a girl pregnant my senior year, so I was dealing with that situation. was dealing with schooling. I was trying to graduate so I can, I mean, go to have a chance of going to the pros. And then on top of that, my game on the field kind of, you know, just not existent. Like, I was just out there literally like as if I never played football. So, I mean, so I never really thought that, like, I wanted to. It was my dream to play in the NFL, like, since high school. But at that moment at BYU, I didn't really think I had the opportunity, had the chance to make it to the NFL up until Pro Day. And I think Pro Day was the only day I really felt like, yeah, I can make it. And then the rest is history. I'm here, I'm going on year 8.
Do you still remember vividly the moment you ripped out the hearts of Spartan fans around the world?
Yes. Yes. You beat you at Michigan State. Yes.
Who was the quarterback in that game?
It was Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Who were the dogs that you played with at Butte? Both ways. Who were some guys in college that stood out to you that you played with and that you played against? Some notable guys you're like, wow, this guy's going to be good. Wow, he's really awesome. Like a receiver that you covered. Is there anyone that comes to mind that you could think of in both sides of the field in college?
Yeah. Freshman year, we had these two receivers, Cody Hoffman and Mitch Matthews. Cody Hoffman was like, let's see, who can I compare him to? Cody Hoffman was like Mike Williams. Like, he's throwing the ball, it's going to be like 90-10. Like, he's grabbing the ball. Like, he'll use his body to grab the ball. And definitely just exactly like a Mike Williams. Mitch Matthews was tall and lanky, similar to a Mike Will, but I don't know, man. He was just crafty. Like, he was like a Michael Phelps on the field. I don't know. He was like always winning. And then Taysom Hill, obviously a dog. I had Jamal Williams as a running back, dog as well. I mean, all the dogs on the offensive side, like on the defensive side, like, I mean, I didn't even think you had any dog on the defensive side, you know. Maybe one guy, Robertson Daniel. Well, I think he might be in the CFO now. But as far as all the people that I played against, to be honest, like in college, I didn't know anybody. Like, just like I told you, I was just out there just being raw, floating around.
Okay.
So, like, everybody seemed the same. Everything. There wasn't, like, one person that stood out.
Do you think playing receiver helped you to be better corner?
It kind of did. But I think at the time when I was learning how to be a DB, like, the coach kind of, like, forced me to erase whatever I knew about as a receiver. It kind of made me a little bit robotic. I mean, so I was kind of stuck in the middle, like, do I act like a receiver and play the ball? Do I act like a DB and just, I don't know, swap the ball away or something like that? I mean, it was just weird. It was like a weird, like, dynamic that I was in.
Couple other things for you here. How important is, like, working out and exercise and nutrition to keeping you on top of your game? And is there anything specifically, like, any sort of work or superstition that you have going into games or anything like that that sets you apart?
Superstition? I'm not really superstitious like that.
So you don't have like a pair of lucky underwear or like, you know, a song or like something like that?
Oh, no. Honestly, no, I don't. All I know is that wherever I go, it better be a hot tub. You got to get warmed up before I go on the field. I'll tell you that.
There you go. That's the key right
there. As far as nutrition, I would say that I eat a little bit more chicken and fish, like salmon. My mom makes a lot of salmon. My girl likes chicken. My girl makes a lot of chicken. I mean, I eat a lot of chick. So as long as I balance everything out, I'm pretty good. Exactly. I don't have it that like
some tortillas, queso blanco, and some frijoles.
I mean, yeah, I think dabble with tequila here and there.
Chilaquiles?
Yes, it's tricky, yeah.
Is there like a favorite meal of yours or like a specific cheat meal or like something like your all time favorite thing?
Like a cheat meal?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all time favorite cheat meal would probably be a bag of hot Cheetos. It's a pizza. That's like a ultimate, like I'm hanging out. First thing in off season after Cheetos done, that's probably what I'm going to be doing. Eat pizza and Cheetos.
When you were a kid, what was like your go to, like mom's cooking? I got to be home for this meal. Like, even to this day, what is that one that sticks out in your head that you're like, I can't live without this?
I would say old school meatloaf. Old school meatloaf. I mean, mom and I grew up in a one bedroom. I grew up in a one bedroom apartment, so we didn't really have much. Money wasn't a thing for us back then. But mom for sure always made meatloafs. I was telling my girl this the other day. We got a meatloaf, and I love like rice and orange juice. Like my mom said, Mike, like I'm making rice and orange juice for you. I'm home. Like, let me up every way through that. Like, I'm home.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Just to just touch on it again. You know, you said single mother, one bedroom apartment. You know, simple things like was coming up and getting into the NFL, but coming from that when you were growing up, what's the biggest thing you notice that's different, and how do you stay true to your roots in a way where, you know, being in the NFL and making good money and, you know, being on TV every weekend where that doesn't get in your head, because you seem like such a good, humble guy. Like, how do you find the balance in that and not, you know, not let it get the best of you?
To be honest, it's who you hang out. I think coming in the league, like, I was really surprised about the lifestyle. Obviously, the money is the main thing. Like, I think as a rookie, I came in the rookie my first year, maybe like four, six, five or something a year. Like, I mean, I never had six figures, like, in a bank account. Like, no one ever gave me a check to six figures ever in my life. So that was the main, like, it was crazy to me as a rookie. But, like, when I was a rookie, I had vets like Jason Brett, Casey Hayward, Trey Boston. I mean, I also came in the league with Rayshon Jenkins and Desmond Cade. So I came with a bunch of group, with a bunch of good guys, and they kind of taught me how to balance everything out. And they were like, yeah, like, you can splurge here and there for whatever you want, but you can't splurge all your money, because eventually, like, the NFL will run out. Eventually, the NFL will end. And if you don't have any money at the end of your NFL career, then what are you going to do? I mean, like, no other job would pay you as much as the NFL does. So I think that was the main thing that Casey Hayward, like, kind of taught me. He was, I know it's a Jamel Dives, another guy also, he was heavy on saving money. Yes, you go out there and have fun, but you still got to be reserved. I mean, you still got to show up to work the next day and get full effort. So I guess, like, just having watching them, the way they acted, the way they carried themselves, I try to be like them.
So I want to touch on something you said about how, you know, football doesn't last forever. Do you have any interests, aspirations, businesses, business ideas that you would want to pursue after the NFL? Is there another passion for you, something else after football's done that you'd love to get into?
Yeah, I really love theater. My degree in college was theater arts, emphasis in set design. So I want to work in the theater aspect on stage. Not really acting. I mean, acting would be cool and all that stuff, but I'm more like behind the scenes type of guy.
Writer, producer?
Say that again?
Writer, producer?
I mean, just like, yeah. I want to build sets. Like, whatever, like if I read a play and I create a set in my mind, like, I want to be able to draw it down, make 3D renderings of it, give it to somebody.
Carpentry.
You know what it's worth. Uncle Sam down here at the end built this entire set that we're sitting at right here.
Nice. But yeah, you stuff like that.
Yeah, some deck screws and some bare hands.
Yeah. Do you have any Broadway plays that stand out to you that you like? Is there anything that you've seen before that you liked from the fan perspective? Any shows that you can think of?
I mean, honestly, like, I've never seen a Broadway show. Like, I've never gone to New York and seen an actual Broadway show. Like, I did. At the Pantages Theater, I did see Charlie were chopping the factory.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty dope. And then at BYU, we did like a full set for Beauty and the Beast. That was pretty cool. Yeah, so like, I mean, stuff like that. But that's really my passion. Besides that, like, I do want to own a lot of properties. I just feel like properties, they're cash cows. You know what I mean?
When?
Yeah, you carry no rival properties. So I mean, I have a duplex in Salt Lake City. A couple of houses in Kentucky. I'm trying to see where else I can get some more houses. I mean, I'm trying to build my portfolio.
You can get properties in Detroit for a dollar right now over here.
Oh yeah.
Well, let me know where to buy it.
Yeah, you know, they're not, one thing they're not making any more of, and that's dirt. So you buy up as much of it as you can, 100%.
See that?
I got a couple rapid fire questions for you here, if you don't mind. Just first thing that comes off the top of your head, just hit us with it.
Okay.
Three guys who are heroes of the game for you, who you think changed the game of football forever and that you look up to.
I mean, honestly, like, I can't even tell you that. Besides Deshaun Jackson, it'd be Deshaun Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, Deshaun Jackson.
Three times Deshaun Jackson. There'd be a Mount Rushmore with just three Deshaun Jackson on it. I love it. I love it. What was the best or craziest or most memorable atmosphere that you can remember from both a college game and a pro game?
College game, it might have been 2015. We played UCLA at the Rose Bowl. It was like back and forth. I mean, UCLA ended up beating us by 1 point, which is trash, but that was a great game of college. In the pros, I would have to say, I mean, the whole of 2018 experience. We went to, like, I think it was like an 11 or 12 game win streak. Went to second round of playoffs. We beat Baltimore at Baltimore. I think that was the first year that Lamar Jackson was drafted. So we beat him in Baltimore, and then we ended up losing second round of playoffs to Tom Brady himself. But I think that was just the whole experience of 2018. That was like phenomenal. I was like, damn, like, this is really the NFL. And this is really the upside of the NFL.
Who is one wide receiver that you hate matching up against that, you know it's going to be a tough day if you're going up against him? And who is one wide receiver that you haven't matched up against yet but are excited to go against?
This is the ones I haven't got up against yet. So I haven't played – got up against any of the Philly boys. I'm going up against number 6. I'm going up against number 11 they have over there. As far as the ones that I hate going up against, like, I mean, I don't really hate it. It was Bama, but Devontae Adams, man. Devontae Adams, he's elite. Like, he is premium receiver. So, I mean, like, me and him, we always battle. But, like, if you're not on your shit with Devontae Adams, he's going to embarrass you. I mean, that's any NFL receiver, but Devontae for sure is the one that will literally embarrass you. Like,
you got to have an A game day against Devontae.
Yeah.
I feel like you're definitely not the only person who feels like that. What is your favorite thing to do when you're not practicing, when you're not in OTAs, when it's not game day? What's your favorite thing to do in your free time?
I would say go to museums. I love museums, going to different like art shows. Hanging out with my lady. Really hanging out with my lady now, the baby, and really hanging out with my mom. I mean, I still got a single mom. Like, all my family's in Mexico. So, the only people that are really in the States is my mom. My mom and my lady. So that's my only family here. I mean, yeah, my mom has her family in Kentucky too, but really, it's my only family. Be like, it's my mom, my dog, Phoenix, my wife, Kate, and my baby girl, Rocky. You know what I mean? And obviously, my son lives in Utah too, but he, I don't see him as much. But yeah.
I got two follow-ups to you. One, what kind of dog? That's important. Dogs are important. And two, how often do you make it back down to Mexico?
Mexico, I go to Mexico every year. For sure, once a year, sometimes twice a year. We always take the past 3 years, my mom and I have taken my family to Cancun. And they've never been outside of Mexico City. So like, my family lives in Atizapan, which is like a little like town in Mexico City. But they don't go past that. Like, to take them to Cancun has been quite an experience for them and for my seeing them enjoy life. As far as a dog, I have Pitbull, a red-nosed Pitbull, little girl.
What color?
Red. Like reddish tit, reddish brown.
All right. It's a beautiful dog. Beautiful dog.
Yes.
For what it's worth, if you really like museums, you're in the museum capital of the country now. There's no better. You'll never be able to see the same museum twice. There's so many museums there.
Tell him.
You put an emphasis on that you like to spend time with your lady, and don't we all? But when you were in LA, what was your absolute favorite date night restaurant?
I would say CDM restaurant. CDM restaurant is Corona del Mar. It's in Corona del Mar. So it's Corona del Mar restaurant in Corona del Mar. It's in Laguna. It's like between Laguna and Newport. You gotta come out and check it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
That's a great area. Did you live around there or did you live in the Hollywood area?
No, I live in Vermont because I have to study.
Yeah,
in coastal Lisbon.
Yeah. So you're an Orange County guy now. You went from were you in Ventura or is that Los Angeles County, Glendale? And now you're in
North.
Okay.
All right. And last but definitely not least, and probably my favorite question to ask, what advice would you give an 18-year-old Michael Vato Davis right now if you could talk to him?
Shit. Honestly, it's stay in the moment, honestly. Just be present. Over the past 7 years in the NFL, I've noticed a lot that I look to the future a lot. I look to the future a lot, and I also look back at the past a lot. And really, when I'm playing my best, I stay in the moment. Even on the field and also off the field, when I'm hanging out with my lady, my mom, like when I'm enjoying the present, that's when I'm the happiest. And I just notice myself a lot when I'm not happy, when I feel down on myself, when I feel pissed, when I feel mad at myself, is when I'm looking to the future, and also when I'm still living in the past. So I would say just be present, man. Just be present and take it day by day. And I think for football, one player to tell it.
I hear you, especially in this day and age, with everybody's phone in their hand all the time and having to be here and there. It's so easy to get caught up in, like, life just goes and passes you by. So I think that is an incredible piece of advice to give yourself, you know, just to be present in every moment, because life comes and goes so fast sometimes when you just get caught up in it all. So do you guys have anything else to add? Do you have anything else you want to ask?
Hey, it's been a privilege talking to you.
Well, like,
and I like to see somebody your age, as young as you are, that's well-rounded and knows what they want out of life. That's very, very far in between and guys in your position.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
The only thing I have to add is make sure you beat the Eagles twice and make sure you beat the Cowboys twice this year.
I would do that.
Amen.
Please.
Michael, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you. Great to talk to you. And good luck this year and everything that goes. Everybody, Michael Vato Davis.
Adios. Bye. Adios.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great night. Great season.
You as well. See you guys.
All right. So we hope you guys all enjoyed that interview with Michael Vato Davis. I had a lot of fun doing it, actually. Great guy, humble guy, family man, football man, pretty much everything you can ask for in a dude, and we really enjoyed talking to him today, and it was a good time. Hopefully we get a lot more guys like that. Hopefully a lot of guys model not only their game, but also who they are as a person off him, because he seems like a genuinely great
dude. He's a straight-up dude.
Yeah.
He's a straight-up dude. There's nothing fake about this guy. He's solid.
He doesn't seem like he's going to duck the cops for 3 weeks like Cam Sutton.
Amen. Amen to that.
God bless you. Huh. Bye, good deals.
How much did we actually miss?
A lot.
We missed a lot.
A lot.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to say thank you again to Michael. Coming up next, we're going to recap all of that. Cam Sutton being a fugitive. Every single move that happened in free agency, that's going to be a four-hour show.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a monster. We might have to break that into two. Then you have a mock draft already that's going to come out on the blogs here before you know it. You're still working on it.
Whatever.
Typical. Bruce is jerking his...
I got trades in mind, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Yes, I got two trades.
I would like to put trades in mind, too,
then
but...
Put it in there.
9 out of 10 times, the trades don't pan out the way you think they're going to
pan out. Yes, but this is what you think. This is what you think.
Yeah.
I want you.
And if you want to do one where we just go, we do the first round.
We should do it together.
We could do a live one. Closer to, we'll do a live one.
Do a live one. Yeah.
But if you want to do, we go through the first round, no trades. And then at the back end, you got to do Cleveland and Houston because they don't have first round picks.
Correct.
If you want to do that, I'm down.
Another piece of news. Not only did Tip Balls have the achievement of its first ever interview today, Tip Balls is also moving. So, as we close one chapter We really didn't want to start out season three in the old studio, but extenuating circumstances put us here for this episode. This will be the last episode from this current studio, which is in fact the basement. So with that being said, there have been some great moments down here. We have come from the blue casting couch. If you go all the way back to episode
one, that's horrible and
dirty. The blue couch, me with an afro, and
we didn't have video at that point.
We didn't even have video at that. Yeah,
yeah,
we were down
talking on his wiener all the time.
Podcast. Yeah. Then we got the videos involved, started the YouTube. If you go back, find it. I think the first one, I hadn't touched my hair in 2 weeks. I'm in a pair of velvet pink
shorts. You didn't shower for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was awful. And we were just down here.
You asked when it all started.
You remember the
I wasn't even fucking here. Listen.
Yeah, you were.
When you guys started, I wasn't here.
One episode with Gary.
We did one episode with Gary No Football.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gary No Football. And then, obviously,
him and I just bitching at each other the entire
time. We erected this gorgeous monument of a desk, which will be cherished. I don't think we can get rid of it. I think it has to stay. It won't make it up the stairs and out the door, so there will be a new desk.
We'll definitely have to cut it in about 5 pieces to get it out of here.
Hopefully Uncle Sam doesn't graffiti the new desk. Then we added in Zolo, and it just...
as a late addition.
Yeah, but it's all together.
Technically, that wasn't our first interview.
What was our first interview?
Christopher.
I guess you're right. First interview of season three. We did interview Christopher at one point. So...
do we really got to talk about that?
Special thanks to the basement. Special thanks to the studio.
I got to take a picture of all my
of all your graffiti
before we leave.
So, yeah, next episode. Next episode, barring a monumental setback, we will be live from the new studio. Do either of you have anything to add before we finish off today? Great day, great interview, great comeback. Season three, here we go. Zolo.
I'm ready to get after it. I've been waiting a long time to get after it. I have a lot to talk about. I thought the Lions had a great offseason. I think there's a lot of news that we missed, some arrests, some all the aboves, some retirements, some trades. There's a lot. It's not realistically, you said it's going to be 4 hours. Like, no, we need an episode. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But, like,
we might need a week's worth of episodes.
We need to go team by team.
Correct.
And maybe we're talking about a team like the Dallas Cowboys for 30 seconds because they haven't done shit. But then we can talk about a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers who got two quarterbacks. You know, there's a lot to talk about.
See, tight.
And I'm excited to talk about it. And I could talk about the Lions for an hour and a half. You know me.
This is true. Uncle Sam, anything to add before we leave today?
Nope.
That's it?
That's it.
First time with the people in a month and a half. Nope.
No.
Nobody to God bless?
Only one person.
Who?
God.
Oh, okay.
God bless God.
God bless God. Do you have anything to say?
Special teams, special plays, special players.
Now, I'm sick of that fucking guy. I'm so over that shit.
What the fuck is that?
It's some fucking streamer.
Maybe.
It's some
that
streamer.
That dumbass that we were talking about earlier.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You will hear from us, I think on Friday.